Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors, powered by Markentum. If you enjoy listening to Bridge the Gap, we have a special offer for you. Josh and Lucas will be recording live from Interface Seniors Housing Northeast in Philadelphia on November 13th. Podcast listeners are invited to use promo code BTG and receive 15% off. Don't miss this opportunity to learn, network, and see firsthand a recording of the Senior Living Podcast.
So welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the Senior Living podcast. I'm here with my buddy Josh, and I'm Lucas, the Senior Living fan. And today we are at Atlanta Senior Housing Southeast Interface.
Ooh, that's a mouthful.
Say that three times fast. And the energy is incredible here. The attendance is record-breaking. And the panelists that we've been sitting in and listening to brought up a lot of different topics. And today, we are really excited to have Eric Mendelson, CEO of NHI. Eric, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here with the great energy, as you describe. It is a good turnout.
Absolutely. So Josh just got off a panel, and you still have your voice.
Absolutely. It's so much fun. I mean, I honestly, being on a panel, it's awesome because I was up there, 13 years in the space, but I'm surrounded by people that make me feel like rookies. So I'm up there learning, got to hear Eric right before I was up there, what valuable insight he brings to our industry, really raising the bar, thinking about how we look at things a little bit differently and challenging leaders to look at things differently. So awesome to have him on the show with us, right?
So it's a perfect segue. So Eric, obviously you have a big financial background. So would you mind telling our audience what led you into senior housing?
Sure. And spoiler alert, I do not have a big financial background.
Okay.
I'm a lawyer by training. And I started off in this business with a love of real estate. And I was familiar with senior housing because I'm not only an only child, I'm an only grandchild. So I was a caregiver for two grandparents and experienced senior housing for both of them. Wow. My parents were geographically undesirable, so I was tasked with the senior housing shtick and made a go of it. So as I said, I started out as a lawyer. I got my big break when I was working for the University of Washington, which has a huge medical practice, medical real estate practice. They're always buying, selling, financing lab space because of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And I got a call from Emeritus Senior Living in 2006, which at the time had 120 buildings. So it was a mid-sized regional operator, and they were looking for a director of real estate and legal affairs and wanted to talk to me. I met with Dan Beatty, the founder, and Ray Brandstrom, the CFO, and we had a great interview. We ended up talking about just the deals they had done and how they did them. It was one of those instances where I didn't do much talking. They did all the talking, and they must have thought I was brilliant. So I got hired by Emeritus, and fast forward 9 years later, I tell people I got an MBA at the University of Emeritus, because up until then I had represented banks, I had represented REITs, but I was not a finance guy. I was told that this was a good deal, and now you go and close it. So now I was in the position of having to understand what made a deal good or not. And it was kind of trial by fire, especially with Dan Beatty. He's a man of few words, but has a lot of dollars behind him. So we did, on a slow year, we would do $1 billion worth of acquisitions.
Wow.
And by the time we sold the company to Brookdale, we had 540 buildings, and it was a $5.6 billion transaction.
Wow.
So that's how I got my start.
It's a well-known merger.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
people are still talking about it.
Yeah. Few people have heard about that one before. So, parlaying off of your panel today, I'm going to hit you with a question. So what do you think one of the biggest challenges that the senior living industry faces?
Getting new talent interested in the space. It's no surprise that senior living isn't the first category that new graduates think of when they're thinking about what industry they want to get into. It's like that old movie with Dustin Hoffman and The Graduate, where the guy puts his hand on his shoulder and says, plastics. That's me. I'm saying senior living, and it's just not playing as well. But I keep trying. For example, I think Enterprise Rent-A-Car does a great job of recruiting college graduates, training them, giving them people skills, giving them sales skills, giving them presentation skills. So whenever I rent at Enterprise, I interview them and ask them, you know, what their major was, how they like working, and then I give them my pitch on senior living, because some of them have actually studied social work.
Okay.
And more than one time I've said, well, with your sales background and your management background and your social work degree, you'd be perfect for senior living, and they never thought of it. So I'm out there proselytizing and trying to spread the good word. I think that internships are important. Our company, even though we only have 16 employees, does an internship every summer with a young, capable person that usually has some sort of connection to senior housing. And I've seen some of my interns continue on and become lawyers and bankers, and they're always attuned to senior living as a category, and they're friendly to it, at least. You know, you may not get them in there, but you'll get them to take it seriously and to understand that it's not a trivial category.
Absolutely. Who would have thought that Eric is out there as one of the industry's best recruiters on the street?
Yeah, I love that. Well, I will say, I'll put a plug in for Eric's team. Lucas, you and I, we can both attest, you've built a great team. They may not be a huge team, but they're great people. And so whatever you're doing is working, and being a torchbearer for our industry is awesome. So
we're trying.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, so with that being said, so with challenges, as you guys are both leaders, we also know that that leaves opportunities. And so you've mentioned, you know, the recruiting and the opportunities that brings. So either in recruiting or in another category, what do you think the opportunities are for the industry right now?
I think there's a huge opportunity in affordable housing. Hmm. It's kind of a buzzword, and people's eyes glaze over when you start talking about it. But I have met people who are running buildings and are making money at $2,000 to $2,500 a unit. Wow. And they're delivering good service, good food, and good resident experience at that rate.
That's fascinating. So can you reveal some of the secret sauce, some of the ingredients? I mean, part of our show is inform, educate, and influence. So we
right.
want to make sure we spread that love.
Right. Well, one thing that I didn't realize, I visited a building and I said, how do you get your people around? Where is the bus? Mm-hmm. You know, the bus with the wheelchair lift. There, you got to have one, and it might have a sign on the side with the Photoshop stock photo of the smiling seniors.
It's faded from the sun.
That's right.
And not clean.
And might have some graffiti on it.
Yeah.
And this particular operator says, you know, we determined we don't need a driver, we don't need a bus, we've eliminated that, and we save $150 plus a year because people either use Uber or it's paid for. Taxis are often paid for by Medicaid or Medicare if you're going to a doctor. And he said, so we don't need it, and we pass those savings on. And I had never even considered eliminating transportation.
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, out there building a lot of these pro formas and things that operators do, you know, it's easy to do what you have done and what's easy. And when you start thinking about a new community or an acquisition, it's real easy to just take that standard template, right, that has the transportation line, and you know what you're going to need for transportation. But so what I'm hearing is some thought-provoking creative ideas. That's one of the secret ingredients, is just really analyzing every section of your programming and your budget to determine how can we effectively meet these needs in a new and efficient way. Tell me a little bit, too, about, you know, I hear a lot of talk, a buzzword about affordable. I mean, where are you seeing the real opportunities? Because, you know, with our organization, we obviously don't think we can meet everyone's needs, but we're thinking, you know, this top-tier product that we're all seem to be developing right now, it seems to be a slimming market. So how can we tap into the more affordable market? So when you're looking at these affordable communities, is that under more of a Medicaid model and a reimbursement system, or is this private sector doing what private sector often does best and in creative innovation?
Oddly enough, the buildings that I'm seeing might have 25% Medicaid. They want to have some Medicaid, and they typically double up those residents in the rooms so it becomes economically feasible. But it's mostly private pay. And what I'm seeing are buildings that are broken. They're almost always distress situations. And it's capital that's quick, that has development expertise for renovation. And they'll renovate a building. They'll do some work with the finishes that update it. But as my grandmother used to say, they don't go crazy, yeah. Right? And a funny thing happens. If you find it, one of these operators calls it the Costco theory. You know, Costcos are never located in a high-end retail area, but yet they're very successful. How do they do that? They get a great deal on their real estate in an industrial area because they know people will come to them.
Yeah. Speaking of great deal in real estate, so, you know, I believe one of the great opportunities is to be able to take an older asset, renovate that, but oftentimes, you know, you've got to get it at the right price. And it seems like, you know, I'm not personally seeing a whole lot of great deals out there. You know, we see all these deals coming across and you're thinking, man, when is the market going to turn a little bit? It seems like it's such a seller's market. What's your read on the temperature of the market and like, where is it going? It seems like to me just it's got to auto-correct itself at some point.
I don't know. I saw an interesting deal in Memphis recently that was a distress situation.
Okay. So you are seeing them?
We are.
Okay.
The trickle is started. It's not a torrent yet. 2008, 2009, it was a torrent. But I would also think outside the box a little. I know one operator who buys skilled nursing buildings that have gone dark.
Hmm.
Is anything scarier than that?
It's pretty scary.
There's yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, think cobwebs.
Yeah.
Think cracked linoleum tile.
Yeah.
Think graffiti. Think squatters.
I see it.
Yeah, yeah. You can see it. So this guy has nerves of steel, and he's an old hotel operator, and he'll buy dark skilled nursing buildings, completely renovate them, and turn around, and every room is double occupancy, and he'll charge $2,200 a resident, and you're not going to have the most amazing life experience there, but you'll get three meals a day, you'll get qualified care, and you'll have money left over after your Social Security check and your pension check.
That's fascinating. So we touched a little bit there on the, you know, that acquisition market repositioning. What about for all these developers that, you know, are, I mean, the wind at their back, they're just turning out product. What do you see as opportunities for the developers, for new developers that, how can we as an industry develop new product, innovative product more affordably? And do you see, I mean, you speak and are in platforms of national and international level. Are you seeing movements to where there's going to be support and subsidy and things like that for creative solutions in the private sector for caring for this aging population?
Boy, there were a lot of questions.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have. Like,
let me unpack
okay,
a couple,
yeah,
and if
okay,
I forget one,
yeah,
you can remind me.
Yeah.
So new and innovative. I tell my parents that I'm going to build them a senior housing building that looks like a W hotel and is staffed by Chippendales waiters. And my mom is all in on that.
I would imagine so.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I do think that there are companies out there that are making a name for themselves by pushing the envelope of what the future looks like. I'm thinking of one in particular in Seattle called Leisure Care, and they are a very progressive operator and edgy, and they even have their own brand of coffee.
Wow.
The branded coffee that they say is, you know, life enriching. Mm-hmm. So to me, that is on one side of the spectrum, the high end mm-hmm. side of the spectrum. And when I retire, you know, that's kind of what I'd be looking for.
Sure.
in a senior housing environment. So I do think that there are new operators out there that are developing and thinking 20 years from now, when senior housing should be a much more popular way to to live your life.
Yeah. Well, recently we had a discussion with a young, not rising, but established leader, Shamim Wu at Elmcroft by Eclipse.
And I'm a fan.
She was a rock star on a podcast. And one of the things that came up was she talked about margins. And
fascinating.
Right. And this idea of, and you've got some historical background and data, you know, so can you speak to, she mentioned, hey, we may not be, you know, able to have that same margin that we had 20 years ago. We may need to look at this a little bit differently. What are your thoughts?
Well, I didn't know there was going to be a quiz, but so Shamim came from Holiday Independent Living, where margins are much higher, typically 50%, just as a data point. And she's now in a different type of senior living environment, assisted living and memory care. So assisted living margins that are good are between 30 and 40%. Even high 20s would be acceptable. And for memory care, even lower, closer to the 20 to 25%. So those are the data points that I look at. By lowering your margin, that means you're giving more to the customer, which I think is a good idea. And if you can do it consistently, then other things have to take up the slack, be it technology that replaces some sort of labor, and you get efficiencies there. Capital stack, my part of the world, you could do things like bond financing or HUD financing and lower it there. So there are ways to shift the water balloon of expenses to make it more resident-friendly, give them better food. I know that companies like Sunrise have a concierge in addition to a greeter, and they will help you track down the best doctor, the best dry cleaner, whatever you want. So if you're known for that and you're willing to live with the lower margins but keep them consistent, I think that's a very viable business model.
So, Eric, talk to us about your company as we're kind of rounding out the show. What are you excited about at NHI right now?
My favorite topic. What gets me up in the morning is opportunity. NHI is still in a growth mode. When you're a $3 to $4 billion company, it's much easier to become a $6 or $10 billion company than, say, a larger REIT that's already $30 billion. It's hard for them to move the needle quickly. So even in tough environments, we seem to be able to outperform our competitors. And part of that secret sauce is our relationships. You know, you guys have been to some of our events, and we're a much more approachable group. You can come by our office and see me or our chief investment officer without a lot of fanfare. You know, we're usually pretty available, and I think that distinguishes us. I tell analysts that follow us as a public company that if you call our office Monday about a deal and we like it, it's likely that we will be in that building before the end of the week, and you might have a letter of intent by the end of the week as well. So we can move a lot faster than most of our competitors. The last thing that gives us an advantage is our cost of capital. We have virtually the same cost of capital as the larger REITs because of our good track record, our accretive growth, and our low leverage. So we're able to offer smaller regional operators very competitive rates.
That's awesome. So I can attest to a lot of those areas because I've been able to meet and work with your team. And I love one of the things, and I think it's part of your culture, is I don't think I've talked to any of your guys when they don't shoot me a text or something. I just got a text from one of your team. I don't even want to start name dropping right here.
Cameron Bell.
Okay, Cameron Bell. Thank you. And he said, man, when are we going to connect? We need to know how to better serve you, how to help you grow, how to meet your needs. And so he's reaching out to me. I know that guy's busy traveling all over the country, talking to a million people. But it's a very servant mentality. So kudos to you for developing that. And those guys are working hard, and I agree, they're agile. So yeah. I would say that is a degree of separation for
sure. We wear a lot of hats.
You do.
Sometimes I act as a lawyer and proofread documents and make comments.
Yeah, speaking of wearing a lot of hats, I would like to see some of those hats right here, right?
we'll have to get a photo shoot after that. We got some hats. So, Eric, last biting question. So, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Emeritus merger. Don't worry. We've heard through the grapevine you're an incredible guitar player. So, are you in a band? You going to start a band? You releasing a new album?
What genre? We want to know the skinny.
What's going on with that?
Well, I live in Nashville, so it's kind of obligatory that you play an instrument. And thankfully, I've been playing guitar since I was 8 years old and realized that I could get the attention of a certain 9-year-old girl by playing guitar badly. I've improved a lot since then. I've taken lessons on and off. I've played in bands on and off. And right now I have a jazz band. We call ourselves the Volunteer Jazz Band for two reasons. One, we're in the volunteer state of Tennessee.
Yes, go Vols.
And the second reason is we often play for free. So we are truly volunteers.
That's awesome.
And we have been playing at some senior housing buildings. We recently played a gig at Belmont Village, Patricia Wills building in Nashville. And that was a packed house, standing room only.
So for booking, could you give us some help here?
Do you have a Gmail address? It's like Eric Volunteer Band @gmail.com.
Yeah, I've got to work on that. You know, right now, you can call our office, and I handle all the booking. It's one of the hats that I wear.
I don't know. I'm thinking Pedal for Pat, the Day Ride. I know we need a band.
We are trying to book some talent right now, and I feel like there's a wealth of it right beside of me.
Pedal for Alzheimer's in Knoxville, Tennessee needs the Volunteer Band.
That is right. I mean, we've got a huge kickoff ride to the 1,098-mile journey to Daytona. So, yeah, you've revealed maybe too much here.
Okay, I'll check my calendar.
He's going to become unavailable very quickly.
I might be on the ride.
I'm booked.
I'm also a rider.
Cycle, right? Not a motorcycle. Yeah, right. There's no motorcycling right here. Okay. It's all on a road bike. We've got all kinds of connecting points
here. I've
got
my BMC bike. I'm ready.
Perfect. Well, you'll be glad to know we're riding with the Hincappy team. They'll be on their BMC rides with the legendary George Hincappy. They designed our kits, but enough about Pedal for Alzheimer's, but that's awesome. So a very well-rounded gentleman right here beside us. That is awesome.
Awesome, awesome. So, Eric, you're in high demand. We're not going to keep you much longer. We're just grateful for you spending time. I think that our audience is going to love listening to this, and we hope they did. And so, as we say on every show, we don't want the conversation to stop here. So we'll continue it on our social media sites, and we'll link to Eric at NHI. And feel free to reach out to his staff. And thank you for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Thanks, guys.
Meet Josh and Lucas at Interface Seniors Housing Northeast in Philadelphia on November 13th. Use promo code BTG at registration and receive 15% off. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.